So another big targeted therapy topic in AML is IDH inhibition, IDH1 and 2. We now have agents approved and in practice. Can you overview that?
Yeah, IDH is really exciting. So going back almost 10 years now, the first cancer genome that was ever sequenced, fully sequenced, was an AML patient. And surprisingly, that AML patient had a mutation in this gene called IDH. And no one knew much about IDH, at least in the blood cancer world. The brain tumor people knew a lot about this because they had noticed that this is a recurrent mutation, but we had no idea that this could be a mutation relevant in AML. And in fact, after this report was released, we found that this was recurrently mutated, either isoform, in upwards of 20% of AML patients. So IDH is a gene that's involved in the Krebs cycle. And you know, what the heck does a gene that controls the Krebs cycle or involved in Krebs cycle have to do with cancer in general, and specifically leukemia? It's been a fascinating story that has been worked out so quickly by our community. So what we think is that in the presence of this mutation, instead of producing an enzyme called alpha-ketoglutarate, which is necessary for all the functional steps of the Krebs cycle, the mutant copies of this gene, they overproduce what we now call an oncometabolite, the first ever recognized oncometabolite. It's called 2-hydroxyglutarate. And structurally, it's so similar to alpha-ketoglutarate, but is overproduced in such huge numbers that it binds up all of the enzymes in the body that are otherwise dependent on alpha-ketoglutarate, and it makes those non-functional. And a lot of those enzymes are involved in things like cell maturation, differentiation. So the end result of this, we think, is an arrest in development of cells, and that leads to leukemia, in addition to other mutational events. And so this was a very exciting discovery, enasidenib to target IDH2 mutant AML, and ivosidenib to target AML with an IDH1 mutation. So both of these were approved based on research done in the relapse refractory setting, single agents. And you know, in both cases, the complete remission rate, about 20%, overall response rate, about 40%, and the median duration of response, about 9 months. So, you know, not compared to any sort of standard of care, but thought to be so promising and so available for a certain subpopulation of patients that this was FDA approved and is now, you know, hopefully in widespread use.
Exactly. In what situations do you use these agents, and what do you see in terms of efficacy and tolerability?
Yeah. So I use it just where the FDA label is. So, you know, relapse refractory AML with an IDH2 mutation, I prescribe enasidenib. With an IDH1 mutation, I prescribe ivosidenib. And I'm getting results very consistent with what we're seeing in the clinical trial. So again, just like the CPX351 and FLT3 inhibitors, having reasonable expectations, knowing that this is not a panacea, that this is not, you know, a miracle treatment for the broader population, but that a certain subpopulation can respond very well, is important to understand. The main risk here, or one of the main risks, is differentiation syndrome, which is a very unusual toxicity that we don't see outside of one other subtype of AML. And this can be challenging because it has many manifestations. Virtually any clinical sign or symptom could be differentiation syndrome. It only happens in about 10% of patients, but it's very important to recognize and to do your best to manage.